Bibbles and Bo-Tittle-Tay. Stars all winking while they play. Nibble, nabble, fluff-a-fi. Close your eyes, the world says hi. Wobble wee and twizzle toes, nighttime whispers soft and low. Schnibble, schmabble, doogle die. Sleep awakes beneath the sky. Mumble, wibble, tumble near. Dream bugs hum right in your ear. Blipple, bopple, tickle, twee. Hold your breath and count to three.
We interrupt your evening's broadcast with breaking news from the KNXR newsroom.
Regarding a murder, the death of Myretta, June Jones, a private investigator revisits an old murder, one that impacted him directly when he was a child. It was November 18, 1947. I had just turned 8 and was in the 3rd grade at Wayside Elementary School, in the southern edge of Bakersfield. Every day, my younger brother and I walked the 3/4 of a mile from our house in the Southgate area to the school. To avoid walking along the busy Casa Loma Highway, we crossed the irrigation canal on a narrow cement bridge 100 yards south of the highway. It was near there that the grisly event occurred. A kindergartner, a 5-year-old girl, was murdered the night before, battered innumerable times, the radio said, with a hammer. Every time the radio retold the story, a new set of shivers would go up and down my spine. I was afraid, pee in your pants afraid. To make matters even more fearful, she was murdered in our pretend pirate's cave, just steps from the concrete bridge across the irrigation canal. We had played in it often, sometimes spending all day there.
As I shared earlier, my parents decided to keep the radio and newspaper stories away from me, so I wouldn't be afraid. I grew up knowing only the barest of details about the case. By early 1950, Bakersfield had grown tired of the story, so it died. No one retold its gruesome details. It was gone from public consciousness. No one seemed to notice when a California appeals court ruled that Wanda should have been tried for second-degree murder and reduced her prison sentence from life without parole to a variable term sentence, 5 to 10 years, dependent on behavior. In 1955, Wanda Evans was released on parole and was moved to Fresno, where she was given a job in a hospital's kitchen. Her official job title was dietary assistant. She often washed dishes as well as preparing the patient's meal trays. My own interest in reinvestigating the murder of Myretta June Jones came when I photographed her headstone for the Find a Grave project. There is a growing community of similar photographers who assist genealogists by locating and documenting historical graves. By my own count, I have photographed nearly 1,000 headstones, most in California's Central Valley. Seeing her headstone brought back the memory of my fears from so long ago. I remembered the mountain and its secret pirate cave. I remembered throwing dirt clods at the rough boys from Billy Goat Acres. I remembered that a mentally defective girl had killed the 5-year-old with a hammer. But it was so long ago, and my parents had intentionally hid so many of the gruesome details from me. I was now a private investigator with my own business. My primary work came from defense attorneys who were defending clients in high-profile criminal cases. I had access to many databases that investigators use to locate people they may be seeking. I ran Wanda Evans' real name through those databases and came up with a hit. She was not far, just an hour away in a Fresno suburb. I called the phone number that I had located, a man's voice answered. For a very brief instant, I believed that I might be able to speak with Wanda herself. However, my call was too late. She had died on May 16th, 2000, at the age of 66. For a very brief instant, I believed that I might be able to speak with Wanda herself. However, my call was too late. She had died on May 16th, 2000. She was aged 66. The man who had answered the phone said he was her second husband. He welcomed me to come up for an interview. In all, I spent 2 full days with OJ. Not that OJ. No, the man I interviewed was Oliver James. Last name withheld. She had always preferred OJ. He said Wanda always called him OG. As I wrote up my reports of my interviews with him, I found that I too was calling him OG. A strange thing to do since I always value strict objectivity in writing my reports for my clients. OJ introduced me to one of Wanda's daughters. He also gave me the name of Wanda's longtime boss in the hospital's kitchen. Finally, he called the pastor at the Nazarene Church and asked him to share what he knew about Wanda. As an investigator, I could not have asked for a more cooperative and pleasant informant. OJ had married Wanda in 1959. He said that they both sang in the choir at the Nazarene Church. OJ was 16 years older than Wanda, and he too had been previously married twice. He said that he used to be an alcoholic who, when on binges, could be really mean. His cruelty had driven both of his previous wives to seek divorces. In 1958, OJ reported that he had found God, had stopped drinking, and began singing in the church choir. OJ said that Wanda, soon after she began to work in the hospital's kitchen, had married a man who also worked at the hospital, but the marriage lasted just over a year. When Wanda told her husband that she was pregnant, he accused her of cheating on him, beat her badly, and then completely vanished. Wanda was left as the sole support of her oldest daughter. When I interviewed Wanda's longtime boss at the hospital's kitchen, she said that Wanda was an ideal employee who never missed a day of work. She worked hard, got along with everyone, and had a cheery disposition. She was still working full-time in the hospital's kitchen until 3 weeks before her death from cancer. Wanda's former boss did tell me that she seldom spoke. She told me, "I think that she may have had a hearing problem. You had to get really close to get her to respond." Even though Wanda seldom spoke, she sang all the time. The boss said she was constantly singing songs from the radio, songs from her church, songs from her Oki past. Wanda's daughter described her as a wonderful mother who would do anything for her children. She kept her children scrumptiously clean, and she spent her extra money buying special clothing for her children. She would also often play with her children, right on the floor, with them. Wanda never read stories to her children. Both OJ and her daughter said she had real problems trying to read stuff. So Wanda bought a small record player. In the evening, when she helped her children to bed, she would play a story record on the record player. In some ways, my conversation with Wanda's pastor was the most revealing. He said that he knew that Wanda had been in prison, but she never told him for what. However, the pastor said he had a friend who was a newspaper reporter, and the reporter had discovered all the facts. Wanda told her pastor that she liked being in jail. She liked the predictability of knowing what was going to happen next. She also really liked the prison food, and she liked her prison job. She told her pastor that some of the women did unnatural stuff However, Wanda did not want anything to do with that. The pastor said she believed that those women were on their way to hell, going there really fast. When OJ proposed to her, the pastor said she did not know what to do. The pastor said, "I told her to forget about the past and, instead, build her future." OJ and Wanda had three children of their own and raised Wanda's own daughter from her first marriage. All four children were successfully brought into adulthood. All have jobs, pay taxes, are responsible citizens, and have spouses of their own. Not one has gotten into trouble with the police. None uses drugs. None has ever been a social burden on society. All love their parents. All think Wanda was a terrific mother. If I did not know what had happened inside the pirate cave, I would declare Wanda Evans an exemplary individual. A marriage that lasted over 40 years. Four grown children who are successful and independent adults. Three grandchildren. A hardworking employee who never misses a day of work. A woman who still sings in her church's choir. A person who gives much but asks nothing in return. Yet, Myretta June Jones might also have become an exemplary individual. She may have married, had children, worked hard on her job, sang in her church's choir, been a person who unselfishly gives, expecting nothing back. Any murder victim is a what could have been. We do not know what they would really be, because their life was stopped, truncated. Severed, ended. I think you sense my hesitation, my moral uncertainty. Does the present erase the past? For me, there was a related moral question. One of my motivations in reinvestigating this murder was to potentially write a book about it. By the time I had finished my interviews and my investigation, I had more than sufficient material for such a book. The question I now ask myself is, should I? One thing I knew for certain was that I owed it to the person that Wanda had become to change her name so she would not be easily recognizable. Wanda Evans is a fictitious name for a very real person. Instead of compiling my material immediately into a book, I decided to wait. It has been over 15 years since I completed my case files on the murder of Myretta June Jones. I have started to write the book several times, but each time I stopped. It would be accurate to say that this case has haunted me since I was 8 years old. It was too close. The victim attended my school. The crime happened near the cement bridge I used every day to cross the irrigation canal. The murder site was inside a play area that I had helped construct. After I had interviewed OJ, Wanda's daughter, and Wanda's longtime pastor, I felt that I knew Wanda as a person. She was not evil. She was not a monster. She was not any of the things I first believed when I listened to the reporters on the radio. She was nothing to be afraid of. Still, I felt ambiguity about those terrible events now so long ago. I struggled to overcome my ambiguity, but alas, I could not. It is, I now believe, the real reason I never wrote the book. As I write this, I have another demon to curse. I am enduring stage 4 bladder cancer. In the past few months, I have seen my capacities diminish, felt the closeness of my own death, and dealt with unending pain. I now fully understand rage. I never understood it before. I saw it in others, but not in me. I now know that if cancer were a person, and if I could reach it, I would grab a rock and beat it. Beat it. Beat it. Beat it. Beat it. I would not stop. Special thanks to Mike Morgan and Keith Couch, who both lived this story.
Snorable whimsy dungly, boom like dances on the sea, piddle paddle whipple woo, dreams are waiting just for you. Zimble, zamble, tittle-tay, stars are winking while they play. Nibble, nabble, fluff-a-fly, close your eyes, the world says hi. Wobble, wee, and twizzle toes, nighttime whisper soft and low. Schmibble, schmabble, doogle-die, sleep awaits beneath the sky. Mumble, wibble, tumble near, dream bugs hum right in your ear. Blipple, bopple, tickle, twee, hold your breath and count to three. Shiffy, shafty, whizzle, swan, night slows down till it's all gone. Flutter, mutter, deeble, do, morning light will come for you. Snuggle snug and drizzly down, wear the moonbeam as your crown. Doodle dinkle snurfle snoo, when you wake the world's brand new. Tittle-tay, stars are winking while they play. Nibble, nabble, fluff-a-fly, close your eyes, the world says hi. Wobble, wee, and twizzle toes, nighttime whisper soft and low. Schmibble, schmabble, doogle-die, sleep awaits beneath the sky. Mumble, wibble, tumble near, dream bugs hum right in your ear. Blipple, bopple, tick. Go twee, hold your breath and count to three. Shiffy, shafty, whizzle, swan, night slows down till it's all gone. Flutter, mutter, deeble, do, morning light will come for you. Snuggle, snuck, and drizzly down, wear the moonbeam as your crown. Doodle, dinkle, snurfle, snoo, when you wake, the world's brand new.
This original audio story was created using voices from 11 Labs and music from Suno AI, neither of which is covered by copyright privilege. However, the story content is wholly original and thus has privileged ownership rights, including full copyright under the provisions of the United States.